Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Is the Bible enough? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, the founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. In 1977, I made my first trip to Utah and had the pleasure of meeting Marvin Cowan. It was Marv's book, titled Mormon Claims Answered, that I personally found to be an excellent introductory resource when I began studying Mormonism back in the 1970s. Marv was born and raised in an LDS family, but eventually came to a saving faith in the biblical Jesus. After graduating from Denver Seminary with a Master of Divinity degree in 1960, he became a church planter and missionary among the LDS people in Utah. Marv is a passionate servant of God. He's passionate about the Bible and passionate about the Mormon people. And that is why I wanted him to speak at our 2008 Compassionate Boldness Conference, held in Salt Lake City. Marv gave a workshop presentation titled, The Bible, Is It Enough? In this message, he explains why the Bible is worthy of our trust and why the extra-biblical material offered by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints must be rejected. I hope you enjoy the following as we listen to Marv Cowan answer the question, The Bible, Is It Enough?
I am Marvin Cowan. I've been a missionary here. We're just finishing our 47th year. I serve under a mission that's now called Missions Door. I operate oftentimes under the name Utah Christian Publications. That's the first table you run into when you go out the door there. I'm concerned about the people here in Utah for a number of reasons. One of the main reasons, because of my family connection. My great-grandparents were Mormon pioneers here in the area, and I grew up as a Mormon, was sealed to my parents for all eternity, won my first convert into Mormonism when I was in junior high school. I believed in Mormonism. I was just as sincere then as I am now, but what I believed then and what I believe now are as different as night and day. And so we're going to talk about some of those things today, but before we begin, let's have a word of prayer, shall we? Almighty God and our Father, we thank you for the guidance of your Spirit and your Word, and we pray that you'd be with us today as we look at some of these things that are important in determining the difference between where Christians are and where Mormons are. And Father, I pray, as the name of this conference has been given as Compassionate Boldness, may we have compassion and yet boldness to share our faith, for we ask this in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, in the conference that we're involved in, we're trying to stress the concept of being compassionate at the same time expressing some boldness as far as sharing our faith is concerned. We're living at a time when sometimes compassion is interpreted to mean compromise. We're living in such an age of tolerance. People will tolerate almost anything. And yet that's not what Jesus taught. In fact, in Matthew 23, Jesus said some pretty harsh things to those scribes and Pharisees, and he called them whitewashed tombs, a generation of snakes, hypocrites, and so forth. And some people might consider that to be pretty confrontational. But if you read on down through that text, you'll see that Jesus had some real compassion. He says a little further down in verse 33, "How can you escape the condemnation of hell?" He was concerned about where they were headed. And then in verse 37, he says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them who were sent unto you, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you would not?" So he had real compassion as he spoke so harshly to those scribes and Pharisees. So what does really show compassion? To say nothing when somebody is headed for a crisis eternity, or to challenge some of the errors that you see? Well, with that bit of background, we come to the title I have today, The Bible Isn't Enough. And by the way, notice that's a question, not a statement. And the reason it's a question is because so often in talking to Mormons, you will hear something to that effect. The Bible isn't all there is. It isn't enough. I remember years ago, we ran a program for a number of years called Operation Utah, and we had young people who came from all over the country and even out of the country and worked with us in a door-to-door ministry, and we would set up evening appointments, and I went to most of those myself to dialogue with Mormons about the differences that we see. And we had an appointment with an older couple in downtown Salt Lake, and when we got there, they said they had also invited their Sunday school teacher. And when I got in, I realized he was not only a Sunday school teacher, but a guide on Temple Square and one of the 70s. And we hardly got started when he said, "You're Christians, we're Christians. You believe in God, we believe in God. You believe in Christ, we believe in Christ. You believe in the Bible, we believe in the Bible." And I said, "Hold it." You know, we're all aware of those kind of superficial things you're talking about. But you know, and we know, there's a difference. That's why we're coming around, knocking on doors. That's why you have sent out thousands of missionaries trying to proselyte people from our churches into Mormonism. So let's talk about that. Now, you said just now that you believe the Bible. What I'd like to know is, do you believe the Bible is a sufficient guide for me so that if I die before we finish this meeting tonight, I can have God's best in eternity because I believe the message of the Bible? And he said, "No." And I said, "No, why not?" And he said, "Well, the Bible is full of errors. It's been mistranslated, and whole books have been lost." And I said, "Well, hold it there a minute. What do you mean, books have been lost?" Then I said, "Are you talking about those books that Talmage mentions on page 501 in the Articles of Faith, or Orson Pratt and others mentioned by name, the Book of the Wars of the Lord, the Book of Jasher, the Book of I Do the Prophet, and so forth?" And I said, "Are you talking about those?" And he said, "Yes, they're mentioned in the Bible, aren't they?" And I said, "Yes, they are mentioned in the Bible. But just because they're mentioned in the Bible doesn't necessarily mean they're supposed to be part of the Bible or books of the Bible." And I said, "You say we don't have all the Word of God because we don't have those as books of the Bible?" I said, "Do you have them?" And it only took him a moment to say, "Yes." And I said, "You have a book called the Book of Adu, the Prophet, as one of your scriptures?" And he said, "Yes." I said, "I'm sorry, but you'll have to tell that to somebody else because I grew up as a Mormon. I'm very familiar with Mormon scripture, and that's not one of the books." And about as fast as you could blink your eye, his fist met the end of my nose. And I said, as I tried to recover from that, "You know, if you think that's going to impress me that your church is true, it isn't going to work." And I thought he was going to hit me again. One of the guys grabbed his arm, and we had quite a discussion about the Bible. And before it was over with, he threw it across the room and said, "It's a pack of lies!" The meeting didn't go on too much longer after that, but the thing that interested me was the next morning, fairly early, the older couple who had invited us to their home called me to apologize for his actions. And I hope we got some message across to them during that time. But most Mormons won't throw a Bible across the room like he did. But it did illustrate the underlying feeling about the usefulness of the Bible. Now, before I get into the Mormon view of the Bible for just a moment, I'd like to remind you what we as Christians believe about the Bible, so you have some kind of contrast as we talk about the Mormon view of the Bible and the need for other scriptures and so forth. First of all, you remember in the Old Testament, a passage that's already been alluded to in this conference, in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, it says, "The word of our God shall stand forever." Not just for a while or till the great apostasy, but forever. And Peter, I'm sure, had that in mind as in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 and 25. He says in verse 23, the word of the Lord lives and abides forever. And verse 25, the word of the Lord endures forever. And Jesus, of course, said in Matthew 24 and verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Did you catch that? Heaven and earth, as we know them, will pass away, but his word will never pass away. Now, who said that? It was the Lord Jesus. And who is he? Well, Revelation 19:6 calls him the Lord God Omnipotent. That means all-powerful. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus, that same Jesus, said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Then he gave the Great Commission. But if he has all power in heaven and in earth, if he says, my word will endure forever, you can count on it. Or you can't count on anything. Now, that's my view of the Bible. I believe our Bible is directly related to our view of God. Our view of the Bible is connected to our view of God. And I realize we have a very different God from Mormonism. I believe in a God who revealed his word to mankind, and a God who cared enough to reveal his word in the first place is also able to preserve it, or he's not much of a God. Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7 says, he will preserve his word forever. And by the way, we as believers, Peter said in 1 Peter 1:5, we are kept by the power of God. If he can keep us, surely he can keep his word and preserve it. Now, the purpose of Scripture, I believe, is clearly declared in Scripture. And it's not to testify about more Scripture coming forth or about the need of a priesthood that's going to be revealed in the latter days or anything like that. The Scriptures were given to testify of Christ. In fact, Jesus himself said in John 5, 39 and 40, you search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. If the LDS Church is not true, which church is? Didn't the Bible predict the apostasy of the Christian faith? These and 34 other questions often posed by Latter-day Saints are addressed in Kriegel Publishers' new book, Answering Mormons' Questions, written by MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson. Included is a glossary of Mormon terms and questions for group discussions. This is a great resource for those who want to share their Christian faith. Answering Mormons' Questions is available at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore or at MRM.org.